Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The text for our study comes from James, the second chapter, the first 13 verses. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then become partial in yourselves, and are not become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, and yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now the reason for our study is mentioned here in verse 12. So speak ye, and so do. In this passage of Scripture, we have a charge to keep and a responsibility to teach and to practice what is taught herein. Among the several methods of study is the profitable method that is called textual study, where we simply open the Bible, we read it, we ponder the message, learning the mind of God as is revealed there, really digging into the divine message. So often today, when one thinks of respect of persons, he thinks of racial problems and racial prejudices that exist. Well, this is certainly one area where the principles of this lesson can and must be applied. But the text deals more specifically with another kind of respect of persons, and so we shall follow the text. James begins by referring to his readers as my brethren. Now this is a warm and affectionate salutation, very fitting in view of the strong rebuke that was about to be forthcoming because of certain infractions against the will of Christ that was being practiced. Verse 1 speaks of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, which has reference, of course, to the entire Christian system, the religion of which Christ is the author and the founder. The word faith is used to represent the whole of Christianity. And the message is, to paraphrase, brethren, do not hold Christianity and at the same time be showing partiality and special concern for the rich and the highly favored of the world. Such favoritism and exaltation of people because of worldly considerations is foreign to the spirit of the faith. In verse 1, the Lord is called the glorious Lord. In spite of living humbly and enduring poverty, suffering, and being under persecution, lacking material wealth and worldly rank and power, he was not among the social dignitaries, and yet he was the glorious Lord. Now, since this is the case with Jesus, how unbecoming and inconsistent to show respect to others on the basis of such standards as that by which the world judges people and their worth. Peter and Paul taught that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10, verse 34, Romans chapter 2, and verse 11. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. In Christ we're considered equals, Galatians 3:26-29. We're entitled to the same privileges. We're possessors of the same blessings with God. And we are brethren in the Lord, deserving of mutual love and concern one for another. In James 2:2-4, he says about those of coming into the assembly with a gold ring. Here comes one with goodly apparel, and here comes another that is a poor man, and you give preference to the rich and somewhat insulting to the poor. Now, the term assembly is rendered synagogue in the American Standard Version, and this reflects a Jewish background by both the writer and the reader, but it refers to the gathering of themselves together in the assembly. People are tempted to show special favors and honor to those who seem to be somewhat in this world. They like to be identified with those of worldly attainments and prominent in the world. Their partiality is evidenced in the special manner they treat them. We've even seen some brethren, as it were, fall all over themselves, getting to see some celebrity, and ignore and even act rudely toward faithful brethren. They betray their own worldliness and their lack of comprehension of what really matters. James contends that such specialty toward man with goodly apparel and a ring is poorly veiled contempt for those whose earthly fame is not evident, even though their spiritual nature may be tremendous. This behavior toward the rich and toward the prominent reflects a lack of love for the right thing and for the Lord's people. It is to show an evil judgment. And in the next verses, James shows the absurdity and the lack of good sense in this kind of conduct. By such favoritism and partiality, they offend the very ones God has chosen. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Friend, one can be poor in material things, but rich in faith. The ones who are rich in faith are the children of God. They are heirs of God. To them is the promise of eternal inheritance, Hebrews 9:15. But these brethren to whom this was addressed were honoring the very ones that would blaspheme the worthy name they wore, which certainly would have been the name Christian that was given in Acts 11:26. The rich had no conscience against oppressing poorer people, even if they were Christians. How unreasonable to give them honor when such would come into their company. There is a difference between being courteous to others and placing them on some artificial pedestal to exalt them before others because of their worldly situation. One characteristic of the ministry of Christ was, Matthew 11:5, the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor were given consideration because they were worth just as much as the rich. Jesus did not come to lead them from material poverty, but spiritual enslavement, whether one was rich or poor. All souls are worth saving, and that is the point that we must learn, and that is the point that is being taught. We should not only be concerned with those who have financial and social and political and worldly standing among men, we also should be concerned for those who have less of those things. You know, it's usually very difficult to reach a rich person with the gospel anyway, because the rich person has the temptation to place his dependence on his wealth rather than on the lowly Nazarene. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So often those kind of people are just too proud to come to Christ. So how inconsistent to honor them above others when they enter the assembly. Revelation 2:9 reads, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich." Materially, the brethren in Smyrna were poor, but spiritually they were rich in God's sight. Now contrast that condition with Laodicea, for they thought themselves rich and increased in goods and lacking nothing. But the Lord said they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, Revelation 3 and verse 17. If we today neglect the humble, faithful brother or sister in the Lord, while heaping undue attention to the famous and to the prominent and to the materially successful notables of this world, even those who are not Christians sometimes, what kind of examples are we showing ourselves to be? The charge from heaven is thereby violated. To honor brethren for their work's sake in the Lord is one of our privileges, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13. But why exalt in the church and before the church the political office holder, the entertainer, the academic scholar, the famous sportsman? Now these things say nothing of one's spiritual qualities. He might even be a false teacher. One can excel in all these things and still not be acceptable before God. We have noticed how some brethren will just jump on the bandwagon to proclaim someone who is noteworthy in worldly affairs and in sports and politics and money and entertainment and such as that, and they've lived to regret it because the prominent ones later show themselves to be poor examples. We've even noted how some brethren have paraded beauty queens before the young, taking no account of the immodesty connected with the acquisition of their fame. And they bring them before the young people as something to imitate. It is tragic that such who are so set in following the world bring reproach against the church. You let Mr. Bigshot come around, and everyone gasps with awe. But you let Brother and Sister Faithful come around, who has no such flair, and nobody really cares. Such characterizes some assemblies, even those who might profess to be churches of Christ. But in verses 8 and 9, we learn about the royal law. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, what is the royal law? It is the law of the king, the law governing the kingdom. It is, in this instance, the law of Christ, which includes such teaching as loving thy neighbor as thyself. It also embraces the teaching, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, Matthew 7 and verse 12. Even many who call themselves Christians, even leaders in the church, sometimes treat people as if this teaching was never given and did not apply to them as well as to others. To love your neighbor is not the whole law, but it is part of the law, and that part that directly relates to the subject under consideration in this passage from James. It is that part of the law of Christ that James contends was being violated by his brethren. To be deficient in the performance of this duty is to stand condemned by the law of Christ as a sinner, a transgressor of the law. The deficiency that is condemned is showing respect to persons according to their worldly standards. And just how serious is this transgression? Well, the writer says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." This simply means to violate God's law in one point is to be guilty of violating God's law. Obviously, it does not mean that one is guilty of every transgression, but he has offended the authority of God. He has violated the law of God. He stands condemned and therefore in need of forgiveness. The same authority that teaches that we're not to commit adultery also teaches that we're not to kill. Doing either one is to show disrespect for God's authority. The one who taught one point taught them both. The one who taught against adultery and murder is also one who taught against showing respect of persons because of their worldly fame and wealth and other such matters. Now this is the message that James says is to be spoken, and it is to be practiced. We should consider it in view of the coming judgment, that shall be administered, in verse 12, according to the law of liberty. In the judgment, there shall not be respect of persons according to their riches and their power and their prominence in the world, or their social status, or other such things that some consider to be of such primary concern. We shall be judged according to the way that we've lived before God at His will. Those who come into our midst as faithful brethren, regardless of the matters that artificially designate people of worldly worth, they must be considered as brethren in the Lord because of their relationship with Christ. We must show love and mercy without respect to such things as those by which others may judge, lest we be deprived of the mercy upon which we must depend. And James 2 and verse 13 concludes, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.